Well, hey, and welcome to another episode of the Run From Zero podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Krismer. So glad that you're here to join us today as we dig into episode 28, where we are discussing faithfulness. What is the word faith? How do we bring some clarity around what can be sort of an abstract word or one that we use a bunch? So as always, just as a reminder, if you've not yet listened to the message from Sunday, so much of this conversation is probably going to go over your head because we're talking about application from the sermon itself. So if you've not yet listened, go ahead and pause this episode now. Go back, listen to that sermon, which can be found on any of the streams or any of the platforms you're watching or listening to this podcast on now. Do that before you continue on with this episode, as it's going to help this conversation make way more sense to you today. Because as we dig into application and some additional context, we're going to talk a ton about faith. We're going to help try to make the definition of this word a little bit more concrete in our lives. We'll talk a bit about what faith is and what it isn't. And then at the very end, we've got two very specific application points around what it looks like to lean into faith and to develop our faith even further. You're not going to want to miss those application points, so be sure to listen all the way to the end for those, because that's where the gold really is in this episode. Again, we're so grateful you'd spend this time with us today. Let's dive right in. Well, hey guys, good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Welcome in. Excited to dive in as we just went through week three of Clarity. So again, the series that we're doing, spending time on some of these words, trying to bring clarity around words that are used all throughout scripture or maybe used in the church that can be unclear to some. So Cal, great job jumping in with this word faith, which of course this year we're talking a bunch about as faithful is the word of the year for this year. So fitting that this is one of our words that we just want to continue to bring clarity to. Make sure that we've got a good understanding of not only what faith is, but how we participate in it as God calls us to. So we're going to dig in even more to that. But before we do that, what kind of cup do you have there this morning?
A coffee cup. This is a brown one made, well, we don't know.
Oh, don't spill.
There's something on the bottom. I don't know where it's from.
I'm going to guess China.
China, probably. I thought about bringing a couple more from my collection in, but I forgot them.
Yeah. It's funny because even looking at our four cups here, because I have an iced coffee because it's been hot.
Yeah.
So hot. Yes, it has.
Brown ceramic cup. Yep. I've got a white ceramic cup. Todd's is a tin cup. It's like a camping cup.
That one's dangerous. When you put hot hot coffee in there, you're like,
Yep. Yep. You got to really hold
the side. Yeah.
That's so funny. What was the response like in each of the verses so far?
It was definitely scary, like going into it. Cause like, all right, I have to commit to this and I have to make it ridiculous. And there was like probably three moments where I'm like, okay, I'm done. And it's like, no, I probably need to go a little bit farther for this to actually make sense.
Yep.
Genuinely trying to push people to that. This dude's making noise up here.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, that's the point.
And the risk of, can I bring them back? I think I can.
Yeah, that's so funny. So well done. Semantic satiation?
Satiation.
Jeez.
I had to like hit Google and be like, pronounce this for me.
That's really funny. Do you guys have any other words that every once in a while for you is like, oh, that word doesn't even seem like a word anymore?
Yes. I don't even want to try to say it because I usually push it. It's partying. The way it is enunciated, it could be easy for it, but I have jacked that one up.
Like partying?
Yes.
Or partying?
Yes.
Partying.
Partying.
Partying. Yes, partying.
Exactly. Partying.
Partying.
It just sounds like such a weird, my mouth just stops and goes, we don't want to say this word. Stop it. That's the one that.
That's really funny. Porter had one the other day that I'm trying to remember it because it was really, he was reading to me and doing a lot of reading out loud right now. And he said it, and he said it in a really funny way. I can't remember the word though, but kids all the time.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you want to have some fun with this, like we have a couple kids who have dyslexia.
Yeah.
Them trying to say words that they have never seen before.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's entertaining.
That is
because really you're funny. Like, what did you just say?
I don't know.
No, that's not it. And so, but yeah,
that's super funny.
That word for me, I was always like, I just stopped part. They were just having fun.
They liked to party.
Yeah. It just flooded back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Not like party.
Yep.
Words funny. Is hard.
Words are hard.
Oh, man. So. Yeah. If you feel out of the loop, you should probably go listen to the message from Sunday before finishing this podcast.
But it's not hard to get it. Like, there's just hard words to say or a word association.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, it was funny because Cal, you spent the first few minutes saying the word cup over and over again and, pointing out what the cup is, all of that. And it does go really like hand in hand with the series, right? Because part of what we're doing is it's these words that we may have heard a bunch of times. We may even be familiar with.
Go to church service. You hear all these all the time and you're like, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And you, may have never thought much further than that about it or really dug into it yourself. So we'll spend some time, digging into that, especially with this word faith and, what it means all throughout scripture. Use a couple of great examples in the texts you were in. So we'll get into that for sure. Before we do though, always want to hear, like, as you were prepping for the message, was there anything that didn't make the sermon you just didn't have time for that you thought, hey, this is still valuable. Let's share it here.
Yeah. I feel like, this sermon had a lot of like, probably like three major chunks. Of course the word part, the testimonial part, and then like the overarching story part. And one of the things I love a big story.
Yeah.
I gravitate towards, TV shows. I like it because I can get bought in, and even it's changed how I view scripture. We've talked about this on the podcast before, like reading scripture from Genesis all the way through. You see these themes that go through, you see repeating things. That Hebrews chapter 11 is good perspective of, there are mini promises for each of these people, but it's all part of one big promise for humanity. Mm-hmm. And each of these people had, all of these trials. We just went through the series with Joseph.
Yep.
And it's like we're taking it, we zoom into Hebrews and we see like all these people, and then we zoom into like one person and we see Joseph. It's like, oh yeah, he struggled. He went to Egypt, but we zoom in. It's like, well, he was in prison. He went through the whole thing with Potiphar. He was thrown into a pit. And it's like, there's so many of these little hardships that probably felt like forever.
Yeah.
But then we zoom out and we're like, oh, this is part of a bigger story. It's part of a bigger story. It's part of a bigger story, which is just God reconciling humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I touched on it a little bit, but I feel like I can't spend enough time in that space.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah, that's really good. It does. Often I'll just talk about the meta narrative of scripture. It's like, okay, we can absolutely, and one of my favorite things is digging like deep, doing deep dives into very specific moments in scripture, what we can learn from them, even just like geographically, what is it that this is saying? What would they understand that I don't understand? All of that stuff. I'm like getting really into the weeds. And then realizing that some of those very intentional, very specific moments in scripture also tie all the way back to this greater story that's being told all throughout scripture, start to finish. That is a really good, Hebrews 11 does a great job of that too, because it's so many small moments.
Yeah. It's rapid fire.
Yep. Rapid fire, small moments that people were invited into.
Mm-hmm.
And then we step back and it's like, oh yeah, that is the story of God's people. Which is absolutely incredible. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little more too, I think, about Hebrews 11, a little bit later as we get into some application stuff too, because, I think there's some really good application from that text there, but, love it. Well, from the, the message here, Todd, I want to hear some of your thoughts as we try to navigate. And even, you know, I preached on faith and obedience just a mm-hmm. month or two ago, whenever that was. And I wonder, like, even then we talked about this being a conversation where the word faith can just be a little bit squishy. And we tried really hard to make it a little more firm and a little more like concrete in people's understandings. But as you were going through and listening to the message, Todd, what stood out to you as like, oh, that's a really helpful thought to give someone a holistic view of what faith is?
And that's what I was just thinking, like, you just kind of like, hey, there's the word part of it. There's the testimony. There's a story. I think I coach people on this of like, hey, when it comes to your just dynamic with the Lord, I think there's three major components that kind of make up our ability to have a soul and kind of like navigate things. Mm-hmm. So one of that is spiritual intimacy, which is when it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah. I think this is that heart part. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, there's the feeling component. So for us to have faith, there has to be this element of, I actually feel close to the Lord. I know I have salvation. I know he loves me. Because without that, it's really hard to be like, well, I'm choosing to choose him without having that component. But dangerous is if you only have that, well, then your feelings can kind of tell you, well, not today. Yeah. But then there's a knowledge point that I would say biblical knowledge of going, hey, do I have what scripture tells me? Because I may not feel it, but here's the knowledge I have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we put faith too much in that knowledge.
Yeah.
Hey, you just got to have faith. Okay, well, what does that mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just got to believe something. Okay, well, I guess I got to go study scripture more. That is a good portion of it, but that cannot be everything. And then there's, and so that gets into the mind part. So you got your heart and your mind. And then the last part of it is holy obedience. So this gets into kind of your strength. Like, do I have the will to be able to do what I know I should do at the time? So I have the knowledge, I have the feeling, but will I do it? And that's part of faith too, is putting it into action, as you alluded to. And that helps us be able to go, that's my whole soul getting into this, where I feel it, I have the knowledge, and I'm being obedient into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, and just to help, like, scripturally, I think Ephesians 2 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So once again, faith is not something we muster up. So it is something God gives us and teaches us and shows us, hey, there's all these components to it. And we'll keep growing in it. But then it doesn't stop there. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there is this formula of, like, God does something, salvation, or we grow in our relationship with him. Our faith then grows, and then it leads to good works happening. Mm. And so that, to me, I was like, I'd love kind of the full seeing, like, learning about faith will come from different angles and this holistic approach to it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to ask yourself and get into the application. It's like, hey, do I lack a knowledge, or do I lack a connection to the Lord, or I've just been slow to be obedient? Those are all great questions to ask yourself when it comes to, am I being faithful?
Yeah, that's really good. We didn't talk about this beforehand, so my apologies for putting you guys on the spot a little bit here, but this is our job, so we should be able to roll with it.
That's when the podcast gets good. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. What do you guys make of this, of like Paul's description of a spiritual gift of faith? So 1 Corinthians 12, right? Paul's listing out some of these spiritual gifts. So I'll just read a little bit of the text here. You know, there are different types of gifts, but in the same spirit, but the same spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, by which they are to, and from. There are different kinds of works, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each of you, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has given for the common good. So again, what Paul's saying before he gets into his list of gifts is like, hey, here, it's a bunch of qualifiers, which I think is really smart before talking about spiritual gifts, is like, hey, so there is only one God and he gives all of these gifts. Mm-hmm. They are in service of the same Lord. They are works to the same God. And he gives each of them, each of us, each believer, we even see this in Romans, gifts. In fact, in Romans, Paul says this line that I find fascinating. It's that God's gifts that he displays are God's grace in its various forms. Like the gifts we've been given are the grace of God in various forms in each of our lives. So we all know we're gifted differently. We receive different spiritual giftings by God once we are following him in the family of faith and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, all of those things. And then it gets into, to one is given through the Spirit, a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by which, or by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between gifts, maybe even discernment would be a word there, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, still to another, interpretation of tongues, all of these are the work of the one and they're of one and the same Spirit, capital S, right? The Spirit of God. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So I've just always found it really interesting that faith, this like spiritual gift of faith, which may not be the same thing that we're talking about in a general sense, is listed among all of these other gifts of the Spirit that are given uniquely to people, but not necessarily to everyone. Have you guys thought much about that?
I think you bring up something that is definitely worth talking about because I think all those areas, I would say, God goes, I want you to have. But I do think there's, if we're going to play a percentage game, there'll be some who have a higher percentage. It's the best way to describe it. It's not a great description of it, but it's like who can go, man, that's like if you had a spiritual gift of faith, I'd be like, I'm working on faith, but man, what you can do and what God's given you the ability to do, I'm blown away by. And it encourages me to walk in my faith. I think of like Joseph's faith. That is a spiritual gift of faith to be able to contain your mind and not just walk away from it, although he has multiple opportunities to do that. But I wouldn't say like, but Peter doesn't have that. Peter walked away. Like he was like, maybe I'm done. And I'm just giving you an example. I can't really necessarily prove all of that. I don't know exactly what Joseph's thinking, but based on his actions, we can show that. So I think, because there's wisdom in there, everybody should have wisdom. But there are those, and there's discernment in there. We all should have this as followers of Christ. But there are just those who you go, it's a different level for you. There's a gifting in you. And I mean, there's examples I can think of just a spouse who's having to navigate their spouse just suffering from an illness or mental, and it's just hard, but they've been given the gift of faith to do it in a way that honors the Lord, where most of us be like, man, I don't know if I could do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And there's some who can go, and it's just, they lead their life that way constantly.
That's a good point. Cal, any thoughts?
I think... In similar terms, like I think of it as like the double portion. And there's a part of me, like I wonder if it's more of that, almost more of a natural state. Like there are some people that, like people have always acknowledged with me, like, oh, you seem like a very joyful person. That's been like a fruit of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that I haven't gone through seasons of life where I've been like, I don't feel joyful and I have to like work at it. But it's something that's kind of always been on my life. And and I would say is probably one of the fruits of the Spirit for me. But, and I would say a gift. With that though, in the same sense, I have to rely on God to develop in me like wisdom and discernment and stuff. And, doesn't mean that I shouldn't have it, but I don't necessarily feel like I have the leg up that other people have. And so, yeah, with that, I think, you know, with the faith thing, I think there are some people that it's like a solidified thing where it's like, not that they haven't had to work at it, but it's like, man, you like, you have a faith that blows so many people out of the water. And again, not in a bad thing, but it's just like, that's a gift that God has given them, that again, probably didn't need to be as developed as it does for other people.
Yeah, that's good. That's sort of the way that I've thought about this too. It's just, it's so interesting. I don't think in any way, shape or form, especially with these that I've listed, it's funny because you've got like some internal gifts and then you've got like the last few or what we would or call like external, the sign, yeah. sign yeah. gifts, yeah. right? Yeah. Like yeah. healing, speaking in tongues, some of those things.
Yep.
Prophecy, right?
Which and Paul, I wonder if he would add more. Like, is there a gift of encouragement? Is there a gift yeah. of like oh. some of those things that he's just like, he's making a point. He's yeah. like, hey, there's all of these. And so.
Yeah. So it's definitely, I don't think it's like an all or nothing with these first few, especially. Yeah. I just, the language even in and of itself, right? To one of you was given through the Spirit, like a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, to another, the gift of healing. So it's like a very specific, like, like in a second, did you say a double portion already?
Yeah,
like just portion. Another, yep. it's like, just like another heap. It's like, if you were to think about it, like, oh, God's, you know, extra in the steak. Lab, right? He's right. tinkering with the recipes more. And he's like, you're going to need this one. And yep. you're going to need this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually the church is going to need you to have this one.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So, which is what he gets the body, to at yeah. the end yeah, here. Yeah. And even in Romans 2, even more clearly, but,
I wonder, so I love, the philosophy of like wonder, let's wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's even a part of that that's like, maybe that double portion is here's a better understanding and the, you kind of touched on this. The church needs you to teach this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. You have an understanding that we haven't thought about.
Yep.
Yep.
I've got a good friend of mine who we worked together for a few years when I was still in Arizona, who, when I think of this like gift of faith, like, yeah. yes, I know plenty of faithful people. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. people have gone through incredibly hard things and just have had faith through them. My friend Josh, though, I always think of him as like, oh, that is the gift of like a very specific yeah. gift of faith. And it is not, because I think this is tough, because I think sometimes it can maybe even look like ignorance or look mm-hmm. like pride in yeah. the sense of like, no, I'm good. Like, everything is under control. Everything is actually great. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. And it's like, no, maybe you're just like projecting something that's not real. In his life, though, what I've seen is, he is just confident. Yeah. Like there is just a supernatural level of spiritual confidence that he has that allows mm-hmm. him to be incredibly faithful privately, publicly, with his family, all mm-hmm. of those things. Through whatever's going on, regardless of circumstance. It's just one of those gifts where it's like, oh, that's so interesting because we are all called in the same way. We're all called to exercise and grow in wisdom
yep. yeah, yeah.
And to discern, like as faithful people, we will need to discern right from wrong and yep. Spirit from something that clearly is not the Spirit, all mm-hmm. of those things. But yeah, no, it was something we haven't talked about.
Before. I mean, we probably maybe have someone like that in our life. We're like,
oh, you've met Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever questioned like, and they're like, no, like,
yeah,
why would I? Like that just takes me down a road. I don't want to go. Like,
haven't you read it?
Yeah.
My friend Josh would say something
and
like that.
That's not a bad thing, amazing. But God goes, well, but it's okay that you're questioning it. But yeah. this person is going to be the one that mm-hmm. when you are going down that road that you're like, ooh, he's going to be like, hey man, don't forget to have this. And yeah. so that's the part that it's like, it is beautiful to see the body be the body yes. when God goes, that's why I gave him this. That's why yeah. I gave her this. That's why I gave you this.
Yep.
And so, and I think sometimes it can also be circumstantial. God can give somebody just a faith moment to be like, I need you to lead this and I need you to lead the people
yeah.
to this. I mean, and think of so many biblical characters who all of a sudden had this gift of faith mm-hmm. that just felt like it fell on them.
Yeah.
yeah.
To go, like, I'm going to lead. Moses all of a sudden, boom, has this mm-hmm. gift to go, I'm going to go stand before Pharaoh. And you're like, well, it's not your doing. God definitely yeah. gave it to you. And it's like, well, it sounds like he stuttered. Well, all of a sudden he has this ability to go stand before Israel. Yeah. And he kept being faithful, even though Israel's like, hey, we don't know if we like you as our leader.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so,
And I think, again, we can't stress enough, like, we're not talking about like developed things. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like, oh, I have this gift, and so I'm not gonna try to be better at discerning, or I'm not gonna try to have
that's
more.
That drives
faith.
Me nuts.
Like
yes.
It's like, I think it'd be easy for us to be like, okay, this is my camp, and this is where I stay.
That's yeah. not on my job description.
Yeah, exactly. Lying. It's like no. Like, and we see it throughout scripture, like moments again, what you mentioned, where God has developed things in people. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a slightly different thing than what this is.
Yep. But. Yeah, that's really good. In the same way, though, too, I wonder like if anyone's listening and is like, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. Like, I've never actually thought of it that way, but I wonder if that's what God has given me, because I just have been. Like, he has reassured me every step of the way of what I believe, and just a part of your story. There's a fascinating line in, is it 1st or 2nd Timothy, where Paul's instructing, I think it's 1st Timothy, Paul's instructing Timothy, you know, on church leadership, mm-hmm. and hey, obviously like their relationship is one, like father and son. Paul's yeah. language is so endearing to Timothy as kind of a mentor and father figure for him. He tells Timothy, hey, fan into flame the gifts you've been given yeah. to by God. Yeah. A lot of us don't think about our giftings as something we should fan into flame. Yeah. A lot of us, like our giftings, that's an area of our life that's on autopilot, right? So for a lot of us, it's like, hey, I'm good
like
there.
You say, it's natural.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. completely natural. Yeah. It is, oh yeah, I've just always been able to do that. Whether it's teaching or whether it's discernment or whatever gifting you have, Paul looks at Timothy and says, continue to fan into flame the giftings you've been given. Mm-hmm. So like it's something that we should be really intentional to continue to develop, and even more intentional when it comes to like using that gift to edify the body, which Paul says over and over again is the whole point. Whole point of these spiritual gifts is to grow and edify the body of believers. It is for others. It is not always just for you. It benefits you, again, especially this gift of faith. But so we should continue to learn how to develop and grow and fan into flame these gifts we've been given. So that's really good. Okay, a little bit of a side quest there, but super helpful. Let's dig in a little more. So I'll let you guys choose here. We've got this 2 Corinthians text, Cal, that you shared with us around Paul's experience. And then we've got like woman at the well and what we can learn from that. Where do we want to go next?
I think we got to cover both, because both of them can cover a completely different dynamic of what you may be walking through in faith. And I think that was your point, mm-hmm. because you can be at the spot of the woman at the well who's got this boom, new awakening. And I think it comes down to what you alluded to. Will you be obedient to what God has now put right in front of her?
Yeah. Love it. So let's start in 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
Give us just a little snippet here. You obviously have Paul's testimony. We know Paul's story. Like mm-hmm. we've read it over and over again. It's all throughout the book of Acts, especially where, we see him going on these journeys, yet still being like deeply persecuted, and also making some reference to this like thorn in the flesh.
Yeah.
Like, God, there's something going on that he's not explicitly telling us.
Yeah.
That we can make all sorts of, assumptions about maybe, but what do we have in the life of faith and in the context of faith? What do we have to learn about faith through Paul's journey there?
Yeah. Well, I think, one of the biggest lessons we see is like faith is the opposite of victimhood. Mm. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the side was. I think there's power in testimony. And like I shared quite a bit with my wrestling with my back. Yeah. But I also think there's power in the sense that Paul doesn't talk about what it was, because that thorn wasn't defining him. This is gonna sound really, this is gonna sound really corny. The thorn wasn't defining him; it was refining him.
Mm-hmm. That'll preach.
Come on, that'll preach.
Well, he even says that, right?
Yeah.
Like, he gives us the purpose.
Yeah.
Like, in order to keep me from being conceited.
Yeah.
Like that's in the text you shared in 2 Corinthians 12. Mm-hmm. It's this like, because of what I've experienced,
uh-huh.
In fact, can we dig into the context a little bit here?
Yeah.
Okay. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Again, our sermons are 35 minutes, so we don't have all the time in the world to dig into like every contextual point, every message.
I'll keep saying, this is what the podcast is for. Let's go.
So 2 Corinthians 12. The text we were in was obviously that, like, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. This is verse 7 going into 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power has been made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. This is Paul speaking again. I'll boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. What we didn't get into is, like, why would Paul be conceited? Well, he shared it just a few verses earlier. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 begins by Paul telling this kind of crazy story.
Yep.
I'm going to read it to us, but it's one of those, like, wait, what is he saying right now? For just a moment. So starting in verse 2, here's what Paul says. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Like, even just in that line, it's like, wait,
what?
I just hope I make it to the first heaven. Yeah, like, what is he talking
same
about?
Same, brother.
So in the language there, right? What he means is what we think of as eternal heaven. It's, the like first, second, and third are these layers of like humanity and what we might consider hell and heaven and all of that stuff. So don't get too caught up on that. What he means is, hey, I knew a guy, which is still crazy in and of itself, that 14 years ago, which is pretty specific, was caught up into heaven. It's like, okay, that's a place to start this story. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Only God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, again, clarifying, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I am speaking in truth, but I refrain, so on and so forth. This is a really funny, like culturally contextual way of Paul saying, this was me, right? He doesn't explicitly come out and say, I was caught up into the heavens. Yeah. He's tiptoeing around this idea, theologians generally agree with this premise that Paul is talking about an experience he had himself. Mm-hmm. He is not talking about someone he knew, but he's tiptoeing around this idea of, I really don't want to boast, but there's something of value that I need to share. So let me use, I knew a man who this happened, and I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but here's what happened. And he had this experience and then, came down and it was a real true thing. And he saw things that he's not permitted to say, all of these things. What most theologians would agree when like exegeting this text is, okay, Paul had this supernatural experience where God either physically brought him to a holy place, to heaven, to experience things that he can't even speak of or articulate, or maybe even had this vision of heaven that felt very visceral, very, very real to him. And that's the context by which he's saying, in order that I may not boast, I've been given this thorn in the flesh. So there's like this cost to this experience so that I may not become prideful. I may not look at those around me as if I know everything and they know nothing. I may still have a care and compassion for them and empathy for them because God needs to ensure that I still am able to serve the mission that I am on. He has given me this thorn in the flesh. So I've just always found that story fascinating, that context of, I wonder, one, just the story in and of itself. Like, what must that have been like?
What is this?
Yeah. And then, of course, all throughout, even in Acts, we see these indications that Paul was taught and instructed much of the gospel supernaturally by Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. And there were these like maybe 1 to 3 year period of him, you know, post baptism, post or the Damascus moment baptism, of being instructed on the ins and outs of the gospel that he would then teach and go plant churches and all of those things. And likely this would have lined up pretty closely to around that time, mm-hmm. you know, given the 14 year thing. So just a fascinating context. If I had that experience, I might be, you know, prone to boasting also.
Yeah.
Well, and then it makes you wonder, because then there's another context where Apollos is teaching and Paul, and then we go, and it's like, Paulo seems to be pretty good. And Paul's like, I may not be as good. And you may wonder, it's like, do you, now with that context, was that, did you have problems speaking?
Yeah.
Like, did you, like, you know, it just makes you wonder. But I think when I think about that passage, it's more of like, and going back to the faith conversation, is like, can you, and maybe it's not Paul, but he would love to do something that God has said, please don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a disagreement. But can you still have a good, healthy faith relationship with the Lord when you're in the midst of a disagreement?
Mm. Yeah.
To me, I would go, a relationship with God should have disagreements.
Sure. Yeah.
Like it's to me, I go, it's not real if you don't.
Yeah.
There should be moments where you go, God, why aren't you healing this?
Yeah.
Why aren't you taking this from me? Why aren't you? Because you desire to have. What God ultimately offers is like, I want heaven. I want mm-hmm. no pain. I want all these things. But there's a faith that has to kick in that goes, even if I disagree with this,
yeah.
God, you are still good. And in my weakness, you are strong.
Yeah.
Well, that is surrender, right? That is like the, okay, I am willing to submit myself to whatever it is that you have for me, because I know you are greater even when I'm in disagreement. On that plan, even in that, like, the verse 9 text that is so powerful, you know, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It's this story of, you can believe in God, but do you believe God when he speaks? Like, do you believe God when he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Sure. We can believe in God, but faith is having faith. Is believing God. It is, do I actually buy in? Am I submitting to what God is saying to me there, which is a real choice.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's dig into a bit more of the woman at the well story, because it'll help us drive into application as we close our time today here.
Well, it gets back into, like, you've got to surrender on the other part. Like, hey, will you surrender your, like, man, if I go talk to, will anybody listen to me? Like, but it's her connection with God that starts to, like, that, that connection is over now of the, man, I don't have a good reputation. I don't have these dynamics. And it's going, okay, well, I'm going to surrender that and put myself out there and go, because she may have been ridiculed. She may have been, like, she could have all those thoughts.
Yeah.
And so you got Paul on the opposite of, like, man, I have this awesome thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not allowed to share it.
Yeah.
Will I surrender that? She goes, I just experienced this awesome thing. I'm not so awesome. Will I go tell everybody?
Yeah.
And so that's where I just think the application is going. As Christians, we walk through both seasons of this. And how do we respond? There may be seasons where we're like, man, I do not feel like I'm in a good space. But, and we feel like the woman at the well, but God's just giving me this incredible moment. Am I going to go be obedient now in my next steps and going, okay, I'm going to go back to the city and I'm going to tell everybody what just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about what she had to say. He told me the truth.
Yeah.
You guys all know him, but he told me all of that.
Yeah.
And so that's where she has to start with, and just owning that and the confession in that and surrendering that. And cause she's been hiding that even though everybody else knew.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I just find it like when you get into application, you've got both sides of that.
Yeah.
That is going, okay, where do I struggle with maybe not walking out my faith because of so said hurdle?
Yep.
Yeah. Like again, it wasn't necessarily just a sermon on this story, but I think it's so powerful to take a little part of the sermon and be like, all right, we're going to just talk about this and break it down. But yeah, even taking in perspective that she was Samaritan, but on top of that, even the Samaritans probably were saying like, this isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
Like the multiple. And it's always funny to me coming to the point of like, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. It's like, yeah, you spoke the truth there. But it's like, you spoke a kind of a misleading truth. Yeah. But again, I think it goes back to like, the lowest of the low, like God is calling all of us to a relationship, and all of us to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just such a powerful moment. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your past was. Doesn't matter what your lineage is. Yeah, even again, I tapped into this in the sermon, but she had no control over being born as a Samaritan.
Yeah.
In that time, that was 100% hung over her. And we even saw it in her response. Like she honestly found her identity a little bit in that. And just like, no. we're changing some stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Well, it perfectly sets up this like, okay, look, what do we do now? How do we respond to this, this message, this understanding of faith and, yeah, because what we see, especially in her story, is there is a response. Like God, Jesus himself calls her to a response in the moment he shares with her. So what's ours? And I wonder even more so like the Hebrews 11 text that you were in there towards the end, just pointing out like, oh, here is the greater story.
Mm-hmm.
What's being identified in every single person referenced is a response. It is an action.
Yeah.
It is always, I mean, like over and over. And again, I know I did a whole thing in the podcast a few months ago on this, but it is like there's this formula to pretty much every statement.
Yeah.
It is by faith and then the name of a person.
Yep.
And then an action, like what they did. It is. Yeah. You know, by faith, Abraham. What is that part of the story? And then we're getting these snapshots. And then, of course, we end up with this, like, what, 38, 40, 42 verses back to back to back to back throughout Hebrews 11 that tell the story over and over again. And what I find fascinating is even the word, and I'm not a huge, like you won't often find me doing like the word study thing because I'm just like a firm believer, one, that I'm not that smart. And two, that you actually don't need to know multiple languages to understand and read scripture. I'm just a big fan of our translations are very good. You can trust them. You should be reading them. You do not need to know Greek in order to understand our translations. But every once in a while, there's something that I find fascinating that's within like the study of a root word or whatever. And this is one of those instances because this word faith, like if that's the word we're trying to best understand, there's a couple of different words in the original Greek in the New Testament that can be translated into our English word faith. And the very most common is like the root word is all of the same family. So the word that we get faith from most often is pistos, which is P-I-S-T-O-S. But then there are a bunch of iterations of that word. So, that is the, action, the adjective form of this root word. And super simply, it just means, to act faithfully, to be trustworthy, or believing, right?
Yeah.
That word is used all throughout Hebrews. Like every time it says by faith, it is that word. Another fascinating thing about that word, though, is all throughout the New Testament, faith is not the only word that is translated from the word or word family that this pistos word comes from. We also get belief.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see the word belief in scripture all over again. And sometimes it's actually that same word. And we get the word obey, which is the fascinating one for me, is that the English words belief, obey, and faith are all translated a bunch of different times from this same word that faith is translated from, which I just find fascinating because it does link where we were driving to towards the end. It does link this like faith and obedience, faith and action, rather than just this like ethereal thought in the back of your mind. Like, oh yeah, I'm faithful, but I don't actually do anything. That is not the faith that we're talking about biblically. And even in this Hebrews 11, where we see, you know, story after story, it was very action oriented over and over again. So I wonder, like, what are some of the things in our lives that we can, like, questions we can ask as we're evaluating, or maybe even things we can do to ensure that our faith is actually connected to our action or like our immediate obedience?
Yeah. I think one of the things I do really appreciate about what we do in our staff meetings, we were talking about this earlier, is the celebrations. You know, every Tuesday as a staff, we come together. Hey, what can we be celebrating? And simply what this is, hey, what are the testimonies of what God has been doing? Sometimes we get caught up in the testimony as our biography and how God has changed our life, which is, but testimony can simply be, here's how God moved yesterday, or here's how he's moving today. And I think, and again, I've shared this with you before, something that I appreciate about having that specific time that we know is going to happen every week is we get to Tuesday mornings, and sometimes I've got one loaded, but sometimes I get there and I'm like, oh, I've been so in my work and so in even ministry and present with people that I haven't actually taken a moment to look back and like acknowledge what God did last week. And what that does is it builds a heightened awareness of God in the lives that we live.
Yeah.
And again, where I pull these two things, where I pull these two stories together, that heightened awareness now helps us when we go through those trials. The moments when we were like, oh, I don't feel like God's here. Well, when we're spending time in testimony and we realize all the ways that God is moving and we've seen the moments, now we're more aware that like, okay, like even though I feel this way, like God is doing something.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the most practical things that we can do is set aside time daily, weekly. I think the dinner table is a perfect moment for this. Like, where is God moving, even if it seems so little?
Yep. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
I think if I was going to sum it up, Hebrews 12, I think gives us a great action points, but also, hey, here's how to wrestle through faith. So it kind of, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, once again, you got Hebrews 11 and what you just alluded to. Hey, are you remembering?
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you remembering what God has done? Are you remembering what God has done in other people's lives? Are you remembering throughout scripture what God has done? So that when you face this moment of faith, you have that in your head going, nope, he has shown up, he has shown up, and he will not stop showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I remember that. And then it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. So then it becomes that, okay, am I lacking the courage?
Yeah.
Like the woman at the well, like what if she didn't have courage? That would have been a sinful move on some levels. Yeah. It delayed obedience in this. What if Paul would have boasted and chose not to surrender?
Yeah.
That would have been sinful in the sense of God asked him not to do something, but he chose to do it anyways. Yeah. So those are the things you got to look at and go, are there any compromises in this area that is entangling my faith from being able to go forward?
Yep.
And so those, and then last one, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So, and this, you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to maybe convict you about the first two things of going, actually, I'm forgetting what God has done, or I'm letting sin or decisions lead to delay obedience. And then the last part, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yep. Perfectly written to be like, and the reason he's able to be this is because he did it.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that like delayed obedience language because it's just such a good reminder that most of us know already.
Yeah.
Like if there's an area of our lives where God has been poking at us, we're typically pretty aware of where that is. And it's just, okay, are you going to do it? Like that's really the question.
You know, you got to race marked out, you know, that language. And so, you can be like, oh man, that's really good. I should train on that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, dude, the race is coming and you haven't done a thing.
Yeah.
And that's the part you got to realize. It's not the day of the race that matters. It's all the work you've done up so that you actually can race.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's part of the race too. And that's the whole Hebrews point. It's like, you have this race, start running the race now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that means, okay, as God put something, are you being obedient quickly and putting action to it? Or are you delaying it because of so said reason?
Yeah,
those are two really good applications. So if you're in a group or even just around the dinner table with whoever you do life with, I think like, hey, what's God doing? Just sharing a story of what God's doing in your life at the moment. And then just really evaluating, like, where am I delaying obedience? Mm-hmm. What do I already know I should be doing or should be changing about my life or, you know, whatever it might be, life rhythms, who knows? And then being able to like honestly evaluate, yeah, where am I hesitating? What am I procrastinating in that? Be great. Any other application before we close our time here today? No? All right. Well, hey, let's do it then. Get into it this week. And as always, if you ever have a story to share from any of this where it's like, oh yeah, I actually did that thing, let us know. We'd love to hear and share and just see what God's doing in your lives as well. But I think that's probably enough for today. So thanks, guys. Cool. We'll see you again next
week. Thank you.
Man, what a great conversation that was. Just digging even deeper into what we can do to further develop our faith, to be people that are living the type of life God calls us to, and really to become even more assured and confident in what God's doing in our lives. I think telling stories, you'll hear me say over and over again, remembering what God is doing is so crucial when it comes to just building confidence that he is who he says he is, that he is constantly faithful to his children. Just such a good reminder for us today. And we're so grateful you'd spend this time with us today. Hopefully this conversation was fruitful in your walk of faith, as that's the whole point. So I hope it was, and we can't wait to see you again next time.